Nothing in retrospect is a mistake, rather is a journey. I was cognizant of the fact that, you know what, I'm not going to have a tertiary education because my father couldn't afford it. I knew that. I'm such a lazy person. In my natural state, I have to write everything down and check it twice. Time management is hoax. I can't manage 24 hours. Try doing a plank for 1 minute and try to make it go 30 seconds. It's not. Manage yourself better. That you cannot beat somebody who's not willing to give up. And most people give up because they play the short game. I'm playing the long game.
What are the secret sources of success? Today, my guest, who came from humble beginning, hustled himself up to become one of the most famous branding and media experts. Before we begin, I'm in a mission to reduce 1% obesity. You can help me by liking, sharing this video content with your friends. Welcome to Season 2, Episode 36. Without further ado, please welcome Dato' J. Abdullah. First and foremost, congrats, Jake, for your recent book launch.
Thank you. Thank you. It was last year, actually, but thank you anyway.
Yeah. So, I digest a bit the information of from your book. And in your book, you stated that the business development as early as 12 years old. Walk us through that business journey.
Well, you know, to me, necessity is the mother of all invention, right? So I come from a very tough family, 5 kids, father's a government servant, 3 decent meals a day, you know, then tall, lanky, blank spots, you need to eat more, you know. Suddenly you realize like 3 meals is not enough. You didn't understand anything about diet, but you're hungry. So hunger is a very strong determinant for me. So I had to go out and make a living at 12, you know, making.
Are you the only one doing that among your siblings? You're motivated to explore things?
Yes.
Oh, why so?
Yes. So I have an elder brother, an elder sister, a twin sister with me. I have a twin and then a younger sister. I guess you know, they say the 5 fingers, you know, is all different, wired differently. So they all wired differently. I mean, no disrespect to any one of them. They found their own niche, you know. But I guess I felt there was always something more. It's always something more. I mean, my father earned 800 with 5 kids. We lived in one room.
Wow.
Tough family. So, but I would not trade it for anything else because he taught me how to be adventurous. And at 12, I took my brother's IC and got a job in A&W or somewhere like that. So, yeah, so. I could eat a free meal, so.
Okay. One of the job, jack of parking.
Oh, yes, okay.
Where do you get the balls to do that?
Well, again, like I said, the circus came to town, the Royal Indian Circus. My father got the contract to do that. So it was, to me, it's like killing many birds with one stone. Okay. So you can go and see the circus.
Uh-huh.
You can get some extra bucks. And I could hang out with my father. It's just, to me, very memorable, you know, so.
I understand.
Yeah, and, you know, I can get out the house and I got some, you know, even 10 ringgit in your pocket was big money at the time. So.
Yeah, so. Yeah. Okay, let's jump from during that age and slowly going into your career.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, so my background is I'm a club DJ and that also happened by necessity. So I went into my friend's place when I was like 15 years old or 14 years old. And he said, my friend told me then, he says, hey, my friend Jake can rap, lah. So, so I went there and did Rapper's Delight. And his name is Raymond from Revival. He's still around. He does laser shows and all that. He said, hey, wow, that's fantastic. You want to work? I said, okay, I'm on. Let's be a DJ. So I was started as a DJ at that point, but I didn't know what it was.
Right.
So that night we went to, and the same night I got a job, we went to Jalan Alo, a hairdressing salon. I started to put tapes, and then he said, oh, this is DJing, and then took out the lights, took it down. So it was everything for $10, and I thought, wow, this is great, my foray into DJing. So it took out, you know, it happened from there. I guess the adrenaline, like, you know, see people, enjoy music.
At that time, what was your age?
I was about 15.
Okay, when you're 15, bokeja club, 15. So anyway, when at the age of 15, did you see yourself like, you know what, I'm going to make this as my main career?
Nah.
Okay.
I never thought more than 4 days or 2 days. It never even happened. I was cognizant of the fact that, you know what, I'm not going to have a tertiary education because my father couldn't afford it. I knew that.
Right.
So I was, you know, pretty good in my education and pretty bright at that, you know, just memory smart and all that. But what worked for me, actually, if I retrospect back, is my street smart, you know,
right.
It was just street smart. So, you know, so, yeah. So in 1988, after many years, I was 23, I think, at the time, and I won the first Malaysian DJ contest. So, you know, and so in my career took off, so came DJ and then got into radio, and the rest they say is history.
Okay, so 17 years in the radio again.
And longer. So I joined radio in 1995, and I still am in radio, so I'm still here. So it's a long time, it's about almost 30 years.
Okay, so, but if I'm not mistaken, it's 17 years you climbed the ladder to be...
Yes.
Ken.
Yes.
So was that part of your plan?
Well, you see, very good question, because I didn't want to fall back on education because I had none. That's me, right? Yeah, so I studied electrical engineering, but I hated it. I was good at it. I hated it, so I quit. So there's no fallback, right? Can't go just, I got a degree. And so I said, I'm just going to outwork everybody. And that's what I did. I outworked everybody. I worked, you know, I was Mamba mentality before even I heard of Mamba mentality. I just outworked everybody. So in that 17 years, I had probably like 15 promotions. And from a DJ, I became CEO of two companies within Astro. So, and people ask me how. I said, because it's just tenacity. It's just trying to outwork everybody. You know?
The process of you implementing outworking people, was there any obstacles? Because it sounds like I have no issue. I have no obstacle at all. So I can be where I want.
No, there's so many obstacles. I mean,
please do share.
I keep talking about obstacles and how they pivot you to a different route. Wow. And so many obstacles. I mean, it's not what I wanted to do. I wanted to be a doctor, you know. I think my mind was made to become a medical doctor, you know, because I love the anatomy. I love medicine. I love all parts of, you know what I mean? So, but I didn't have the opportunity. So I did the next best thing, is just work as hard as you can. So I have a natural gift of speaking, but this also is not God-given, but it is by training, you know. So I realized that, you know, I failed in two marriages. We got remarried again in 2017. Okay. Love of my life.
Don't mind me asking, and Bodhita share that part, because I personally know clients and friends, you know, when this kind of thing happen, whatever they try to achieve, tak jadi.
Well, you know, being a, not, I would say, devout, but I'm a very strong Muslim. I believe in you know, everything is written by Allah. Mm. So we go from A to B, you know. Our journey from A to B, I got three kids from two past marriages. And, you know, they're already so big and all that. So nothing in retrospect is a mistake. Rather, it's a journey, you know. If I had to say, oh, you know, that's failed, then how did I meet my current wife? You know what I mean? Because I feel there, you know. So, yeah, I just move on. So, you know, no hard feelings. You know, although it's not, at that time, you are, you know, it's not easy.
Is there any distraction from you to achieve what you want to achieve in terms of career-wise?
Yeah, no, because...
So you just put away whatever is going through in your mind and...
It's not as easy as that, but my discipline, I guess, because one thing that has never strayed away from is working out.
Okay.
Do you know what I mean? So no matter what happens, no matter how down I am, whether how distraught I am, no matter even if it's not possible or whatever, like, you know, I will work out. Okay. I will get it out of the way, because to me that this stress reliever is, you know, it generates happy hormones and, you know, and all that. So then it's helped me all my life. In fact, my success, this little success I have in my life is due to my discipline in the gym. Nothing more than that. I keep telling people that, you know, and I'm sure I know you from the longest time, and you know what people say, hey, aku malas lah nak pergi gym. But for us, it's not about malas pergi gym. It is about, oh my God, I have to get it from the gym. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I feel like that 5% of the day is not accomplished if I don't go to the gym. So I guess what got me out of all these obstacles or the rut I've been is my discipline. It's my discipline which I adapted in the gym.
In chapter 5, you mentioned the consistency, motivation versus Discipline.
Yeah. So, like I said, now a lot of people are very motivated, and you're a gym guy, PT, and you're doing this, and you know, people get very excited. They want the fast route. You know, oh, I couldn't have a six pack, lah. You know, they don't understand that it's not about that. It's about building great habits. Yeah. So, motivation is like you watch. You know, Wolverine is, oh my God,
right.
Did you get this? Oh, wow. And you know, you're trying to figure out, you come out excited and it fades away.
Yeah. It's all.
Discipline is just going in and doing it relentlessly, repetition, day in, day out, no matter what. The people ask me, how, hey, I said, Anda, you can work out. I said, people walking the roads, you know.
Not at all.
Paving the roads, you know. I mean, what's my excuse? I keep doing it. So, and that's to me is important. Put in the time. You know, like I said, you cannot beat somebody who's not willing to give up. And most people give up because they want to see they play the short game. I'm playing the long game.
I agree. Certainly agree.
You know, even like this podcast, I keep telling people, I might have X number of people, but if I stop now, I've lost.
Yeah.
You know, play the long game because you know, you're going to improve your camera angles. You're going to improve the way your thumbnails look. You're going to improve the way you're editing, the way you speak. You know, so all this eventually, inshallah, you know.
There's one study regards to podcasts, and 90% of people will quit doing podcasts before they reach episode 50.
Yeah.
So
I do agree. Yeah.
Totally agree.
So, yeah. So, you know, I was talking to KJ also, and KJ has had much success with the Gloss Ketchup and all that. And I remember the day time he started, he says, nobody's going to like it. And then, you know, he just crossed his 102nd episode with setting and says, dude, this is crazy, man. You got sponsors coming out of the woodwork, you know?
That's all.
Yeah. So, and I see what you're doing also, and I'm happy. And in fact, I commented on one. I says, keep doing what you're doing, man. Keep doing what you're doing. Because you know why? The people, there are a lot of people who will not respond, but they are actually catching your content.
Yeah. They're just viewing. Okay, now we go back to the consistency again.
Really?
Okay, cakap senang lah when you say it because you reach certain status. So for you to tell people, hey, you can work and you can work out, just be consistent and disciplined.
Mm.
How do you share that to general people?
Okay, so to me is you have to set realistic goals.
Mm.
You see, the problem is people set unrealistic goals.
Yeah.
You know, I want to lose 10 kilos in 6 months,
right?
When you put on the 10 kilos in 10 years. So,
very true.
Yeah. So, put realistic goals ahead of you. To me, my goals are very simple. Like, you know, I want to learn a language. I said, learn one word a day.
Nice.
In 365 days, you'll have 365 words.
Right.
But the problem is, people don't have the discipline to follow through because it's boring. Nobody cares, you know, when you're picking up you get disillusioned, you're like, you know. So to me is set realistic goals. My goals are very simple. And because I'm such a lazy person, in my natural state, I have to write everything down and check it twice. So at night, I'll write.
Understand.
I've got to pay this bill. I've got to do this. I've got to do that. I've got to go for Kamal's podcast. I've got to be here by this. So I'm writing things now,
right,
and I'll tick it off. So this has become my habit, really. I'm so consistent.
Right.
I have to eat by a certain time. I have to ensure that I've got my five prayers a day. I write everything down because I don't trust myself. Right. You know, so what you don't track, you know, it's not going to happen.
Sometimes we get distracted.
All the time.
Yeah.
All the time.
And
even like I want to watch a Netflix, it's on a treadmill. So I'll be 30 minutes.
Do you consider that as if I want to watch Netflix, I have to be on the treadmill? Or
because to me is you have 24 hours in the day.
Okay.
So either I'm planning something, writing something. If it's not improving my mind, body and soul, I won't do it.
I see. When do you... Macam kalau orang biasa tengok kan, like, boring gila life here.
Yes.
Kan?
Yes, but that's the point. The point is, it is easy to be normal.
Understand.
It's easy to be average. We are the outliers here,
right,
you know? And for me to get into this game, or it's not about other people, you know? Come, I'm telling you, it's not about the people. It's about me. I'm not here to impress anybody. I'm the simplest person you'll meet. If you watch my Instagram or my YouTube or what, I don't flash. I don't do anything. In fact, I don't even bother. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
It's because it's not about you. It's about me, what I can give you, you know? So in that sense, I guess that I'm striving for that. I'm still a novice at that. And people have to understand that after time, we are wasting our time. And I keep talking about this. You know?
Ouch.
Yeah. We keep wasting our time trying to impress people.
Yeah.
You know, the most important thing is, what value can I bring on to this? And I, you know, like I watch your podcast and it says, oh, okay, that's interesting. I didn't know that. So I'll write it down. So, you know what? It's interesting. It's interesting. Oh, you got to do it this way. Oh, you use a slit. Oh, you know. So it is value creation, value adding, you know. How do we add to that rather than be a taker? So you ask me if I, you know, do I relax? Yes, I do. Of course, I go on a holiday and all that. But my discipline still maintains. I ensure the hotel's got a good gym. I ensure that, you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
Ensure that I can get a decent meal. Ensure that, yeah. Do I have cheat meals? Of course I do. But because I understand macro so well, so I, you know what I mean?
Really?
Yeah.
Okay, so during this process that, just betul kami, the transition of you from tak sihat to this healthier lifestyle, it happened because of the medical checkup.
Yeah.
Okay, can you share that? Because I want to touch this one because I do have many clients that don't want to change until they're betul-betul sakit.
Generally, I've been always active, but you know, because I'm predisposed to certain diseases because of my genetics, my hereditary, my family. My father died of a heart attack. His father died of a heart attack. So obviously, my lineage is, you know. So I have something called familial hyperlipidemia. That means my liver, and most people will have this. Most Indians generally have this, where your liver produces four times LDL than normal people. You know, so, and suddenly you'll have a heart attack. Suddenly, you know, so when I went and checked my pressure, it was 170 over 100. The doctor said, what's happening?
Okay.
What's happening? Sure. I said, I don't understand. I'm working out and this will be that. I said, oh, I'm pretty healthy. He says, look, you're predisposed. So I went to it and I said, it was a wake up call. I said, you know what? I had to clean up everything. So I quit smoking.
Right.
You know, that time I used to have one or two.
Yeah.
So I quit that. I quit smoking. Whole turkey, they said it dropped a little bit. Then I said, you know what, this is not enough. Got to take care of your food. Food's everything. So I started studying about diet. I studied.
Wow.
And I said, you know, I'm not helping myself. What works for me? So I, you know, by trial and error, I realized what works for me. You know, what kind of diet works for me? A balanced diet works for me. So, and I kept improving. So it's not that we're not going to die. We're all going to die. But it's how do we want to live this life? So I changed my life.
Okay, so that transition, do people around you say you're very extreme, especially your...
Yeah. You see, everybody, you will actually find out your true circle when you start to respect...
100%.
You start respecting yourself. 100%. I am not a person who... Hey, jom lah, kita pergi party. Tak maaf lah, sorry lah. Like, I give you an example. And a lot of people are very upset with me because I speak about this. See, so I don't like the idea of open houses.
Right.
You know, the traditional open houses are fine. I don't like the idea of these large companies doing open houses in 30 days. Kita puasa 30 hari, kita kena raya pun 30 hari. It doesn't exist in my time, right? I don't like the ideas of these lavish open houses because kita sambut bulan Ramadan. We don't sambut bulan Ramadan. We are supposed to be reflective. Yeah. See, but that's only my thoughts, right? So people get upset. They think I'm boring. You know. So I don't want to bring down my discipline to fit your expectations. You know what I mean? And I don't expect you to understand. Neither am I prepared to step into your world. So if we cannot meet at a transition point, so be it. I've lost so many friends. Friends. But you know, the true ones will hang out with you because they love your energy. They love your aura. Were they actually your friends? And again, like I said, and I mean no hate to anybody. I will always help people. This is my style. But you have to pick and choose.
Battle.
You know?
Totally. Okay. So we go back to your career journey, blah. And the process of climbing up, kemudiannya, how... because there's one period, you went missing. You went to Calcutta.
Calcutta. No, I was still working in Astro. So the reason I went to Calcutta was it was an opportunity for me to learn. So I was a content director for two stations, Hits and Mix or something like that. And it was an opportunity for me to set up the stations. But I looked at it a different way because the main boss is going to be in Calcutta for 6 months, and I'm going to have FaceTime with him every day.
Oh, okay.
See what I mean?
Faham.
So every day I'm going to sit down and have dinner with him. Every day I can tap his hands. Man. And it got me the ability to set up a station, train people, deal with people and all that. So it was like a paid degree for me. So I learned what's a spreadsheet. I learned what's a finance statement. I learned all this. So, you know, before, like I said, I didn't know all that. Mm-hmm. So it was a great place for me to understand, you know, starting a business.
Yeah. Were you I consider you as opportunist, lah. Mm-hmm. Character of opportunist. Were you like this from the very young age, Kirk?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Any opportunity for me to step up, but not step on people.
Understand.
Obviously. I will always take the jobs that people don't want because I will look at it, and, you know. Like I said, I washed plates. I was a bouncer. I did all these things, you know. As long as I can. One was because of necessity. Number two is, wow, that's interesting. You know, if you ask, I'm a generalist. If you ask me now, I'm closing into 60, you know. I still spin in a club once in a while.
Right.
You know, I still PT, I do. I still lecture CEOs. I still do a podcast. I still consult two companies. So I do everything I can. So, and it's because of my journey. People say, hey, kenapa you more than upload lagi nak pergi spin? But why not?
Right.
But not hurting anybody, enjoy it.
Mm-hmm.
Puts a few dollars in my pocket. You know, can buy me my ISO pure. Okay lah.
Okay, when you, now since you bring up, you consult. CEOs can. When you consult, obviously you're going to touch a bit of benefit of health, can?
Not really.
Okay.
Not really. But usually they look at me, they will talk to me. Mine is very specific depending on their requirements. Some people want me to train their VPs to go up to their senior VPs to senior VPs. Some want to improve their leadership skills from transactional to transformational, okay. Servant leadership. So some are interested in how they improve their marketing, their personal branding. Like I teach CEOs personal branding also, you know how. So it depends. But yeah, somewhere around there, they will usually ask me, hey, so bro, you work out, how often, how often do you work out? I don't know time. Like, so it usually comes up regularly and I'll have to be honest with them. I said, this is part of who I am. It's my DNA. Look at the greats. Look at, you know, Dwayne Johnson or Kobe Bryant or actors and all that, you know, like Mark Wahlberg and all that. The discipline comes from the gym, you know.
Right.
It's not the other way around, is it? Yeah. So, and usually, oh, I've got no time. I says, no, you have time. You know, I have to manage my time. See, you don't have to manage your time. Time management is to me, is a hoax.
Right.
You can't manage 24 hours. Try doing a plank for 1 minute and try to make it go 30 seconds. It's not. Manage yourself better.
Betul.
Yeah.
And in your book, in Passion also about prioritizing health, you give 6 advice. Okay, now, before we discuss on this, how can you give this kind of advice to someone yang tak pernah buat any exercise?
Okay, so like I said, you have to set realistic goals. Mm. If you have never exercised, never, and if you get up today and you walk for 10 minutes, you're already in a better place.
Yeah.
Then you build on that. Tomorrow I do 11 minutes. You know, tomorrow I do 12 minutes. The thing is, if you're sedentary and you start, you're already in a better place. But be mindful that this thing needs to be a continuation. It needs to be, you know, consistent. You know, bukan macam buka kedai burger, lepas tu, you know, menaga 2-3 hari dah okay, dah pasal tutup.
Yeah.
It cannot be like that. So have realistic goals. If you, again, like I said, sometimes people don't understand. I tell people this and they get upset with me. I said, bro, you can lose weight being in a comatose situation. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's all about food. You know, I'd rather watch my food than, you know, hey, aku tak pergi gym lah. Makan nasi lemak lah, kena pergi gym. You see that the relationship with food is not right. I guess there is a very, very bad.
How was your eating habit during your younger age and the transition? Because you've got 5 siblings and...
Generally, I because of... One is because of, like I said, like I come from a very poor family. So we had 3 decent meals a day. Rice was there, but we walked a lot and all that. So it was never... I was always like this. I was never a skinny kid. So
okay.
These days, I'm very... full about what I eat, you know. I like the whole day today, I probably had made a smoothie. Then I just had a little bit of rice with some few eggs. That's it. You know what I mean? So I'm not a foodie. I don't look for food.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I have a sweet tooth. But again, like I said, I'd rather be, you know, to me, you know what's my dream? My dream is to be 80 years old working out in the gym.
Wow.
Do you know what I mean? Like I'm 60. I was waiting to be 60. Next year I'm 60. I was waiting to be 60. Inshallah, you know, and I do this. And I told myself, because I remember in fitness first when we used to go at the curve,
there
was this guy who was 60 who was working out, and I was amazed. I said, wow, this guy is working out. Now I'm 60. And people ask me, oh, you don't look your age. I said, I don't look your age.
Terasa, they show terasa. Yeah, actually, I have a few clients. My eldest client is 93.
Fantastic.
His secret to longevity, he said genetic, which I doubt because his wife is 89.
Mm.
So both of them couldn't live long, healthy eating and not being sedentary. So that is what also Jake mentioned in his book, Berjalan, Cukup Tidur. Okay, now Cukup Tidur. We're going to touch about Cukup Tidur.
Yeah, so before I thought I've been, when I was operating very heavily as a CEO, I thought I could get away with 4 hours sleep. Just wrong. You know, just wrong. You know, your body needs to reset, you know. These days, I try to get about 6 hours. If I can manage, because I run my own business and stuff, I can manage a snooze in the afternoon, I'll do it. Half an hour, you know, after my prayers, I'll just catch half an hour, you know, shut eye. And I think that sleep is really important.
Right.
And we are very distracted by our phones.
Very so true.
I try to no screens 1 hour before I sleep and stuff like that. And just read and then sleep off. Yeah, so I wish I had understood this before. You know, because you want to be a bit gangster. Four jam cukup. But it's noise. You really need to reset.
When do you found out that it's a requirement to sleep 8 hours?
I was watching a podcast, Tom Bilyeu's Direct Impact. Impact Theory, is it?
Impact Theory.
Yeah, mm-hmm. So, and there was one of them, and it says, God, I made such a mistake. You know, it is... got to get your circadian rhythm right and stuff like that. Because I was struggling. I was struggling with the just sleep.
Without
thinking too much. So I slowed down. And then I felt better. I also had the issue of training like 7 days a week.
Wow.
You know what I mean? Which is just overworking and, you know.
When that actually happened, like working out. Because, okay, I'm trying to digest and make up a story or connecting the dot. It sounds like you were under a lot of stress, hence you were trying to escape.
Yes.
And yeah, when that actually...
Yeah, so, you know, because so much stress, you know, your life, your work, your job, you're trying to figure out things. So I used the workouts and used to eat it hard, like, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I mean? So when went on and you can't do it every day because you need to rest. Then I got into the Mike Menzies philosophy of less is more, less is more, less is more.
Mm-hmm.
So, and then that improved. But these days, I realized for an extra 10 kilo, 15 kilo, 20 kilo, I don't think I'm going to do it. I don't want to hurt myself. You know, right. I was talking about this. And I do a full body, like maybe 4 times a week. You know, I'll take a walk every day. I get my 10,000 steps in, you know, about 7 clicks like that. I do a bit of martial arts, you know. So, yeah, so just to ensure that I can do it every day.
Right.
So I've spaced it really well. Yeah.
Okay. So what do you experience firsthand from working out every day? Because there are people out there set in their mind that if they work out every day, it's much more beneficial than work out 1 week, 3 times. What do you experience different in your career-wise and also how you feel?
Physic.
Yeah.
Yeah. So the most important is how I felt. I didn't feel so tired all the time.
Okay.
I felt that every time I rested a bit more, I could improve my workout in the gym the next time. You know what I mean? I felt well rested. But every time I was in the gym, I gave it my all. So, you know, progressive overload, depending line, or time under tension, or whatever. You know what I mean? But my performance, you know what I mean? Okay. So, and it helped my sleep. In my career, it gave me a little bit more time to pursue other things. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So you don't have to spend 2 hours in the gym. It's not important, you know. There are other things you can read, you can pursue, you can pick up a side hustle.
Mm.
But once I get it done, like this morning, I worked out with my wife. We did half an hour walk and then I ran her through a full body for the half an hour, 45 minutes. We're done. you know, because I'm not competing bodybuilder right. or anything like that. You know what I mean? I just want to stay healthy, look good in the t-shirt. And when I do a lot of talks, you know, when I do keynotes and stuff, you look good.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And it's funny because every time I do a keynote and the question, any questions is, yes, how often do you work at Blue Life? See, people are attracted, naturally attracted to people who have nice physique.
Yes, of course.
You know, and this is actually goes back to security, like insecure people like that.
Mm.
So I guess it's important to continue this. You told me something about, you know, Men's 93 is working out. To me, only in the last 10 years, and I'm sure you will know this, people are finding out that lifting weights is anti-aging. You know,
true.
You know, and more muscle, you keep your bones longer, you keep tendons longer. So, and they're advocating weightlifting more and more. And this is fantastic.
Dr. Vijay is one great example. The mana, his posture, probably because you've been working out for so long, but his posture is teenager's posture, lah, straight.
Alhamdulillah.
Because many people assume, once, this is my point of view, many people assume once they reach a certain age, you have to cut down your exercise to avoid jatuh atau ada implication.
Yeah.
So your
point, because most people actually have, you know, break the hip or...
Yes.
So I have also my set of injuries. I've tore both my ACLs before and football and stuff like that. And I didn't squat for many years, which is such a stupid thing to do because I dendam cakap orang, kan?
Mm.
But so I started following this guy called Ben Patrick, knees over toes.
Okay.
Yeah, so, and I just started squatting every day.
Wow.
You know, even if it's just body weight, I will squat every day.
Right.
And now if you notice my Instagrams, I'm always squatting.
Mm-hmm.
I will do some form of squat every day. And that, and you'd say my posture is because of that.
Mm.
You know, because there's some natural Asian squat sting position. Yeah?
Yes. Bichangkong.
Yeah.
One of the reason why squat is beneficial of posture is what holds our posture straight is our glutes. So by squatting, we have to use our glutes, atau punggung, and also quads, baru posture straight.
Mm, and the spinal rectus, and you know, so I do that regularly, which is, to me, helped me a lot. Like, and it's just great analogy of life, like things bring you down, just get up. You know?
Right. Okay, how would you advise someone out there, young, they want to chase their career to be somebody? But at the same time also, they want to have a healthier, not a great physique, but just healthier. How would you advise to them?
Two things. One is don't chase anything.
Mm.
Don't chase a career. Don't chase anything. You know, enjoy it. Have a goal. Nothing works unless you have a plan. So when I do keynotes and stuff like that, in fact, I'm having a lecture in Taylor's University next 2 weeks.
Yes.
About stuff like that. It's just, you have to have a plan. Most of the times, I think that masa I budak lagi, you know, 4 o'clock, we go out, play football, bang, we come back. Siapa menang tak tau? You just kick around the ball.
Right.
You know what I mean? So life shouldn't be like that. While it's fun, but you really didn't understand what happened. So have a goal, write things down. It is tedious, it is boring, but write things down.
Mm.
You know, for your career, you know, I did 10 push-ups today. If you do 12 push-ups by next week, you know, compounding every week till the end of the year.
Mm.
By the time the end of the year comes, you know, you would have done an extra amount of push-ups. So it's called progressive overload. It's the same thing as a job. Right. If you're reading 30 minutes a day, you continue doing this, by the end of the year, you would have done so much. The problem is people expect short-term wins, you know. And
ala tak pulang kau boring lah, you know.
And I call this the cicak. I call this the gecko sound.
Okay.
You notice, and I'm sure
annoying.
Yeah, and I'm sure you all will know this.
Hell.
You know, like I get up at 3 o'clock and they say, and I say, ah, I'm pop lah, you know, main tajuk lah, you know.
Yeah.
That sound.
Yeah.
That's to me gecko sound. Go back.
I see.
You know.
Okay.
Then
faham.
Ala tak pulang. That sound is very dangerous because you know why? It's actually you trying to con yourself.
Right.
You know, so whenever I do that, I say, you know what? No, you're conning yourself.
Yeah.
So this great book called Blink by Malcolm Gladwell, it talks about your first thought always is the right one. Because when you get up, I need to pray, that's the right one. Mm. Or I need to exercise, that's the right one. Ah, it's okay, I can do it later. You see, that to me is the distraction. And that distraction comes from, if we can get the spirituality and talk about it another time, comes from some other place. Right. So I'm very cognizant of the fact that whether I'm cheating myself or not.
Okay.
You know what I mean? Mm.
Then writing down is one of the strategy. What else?
Yes, writing down. Number two is have an audit. Have you have an audit on yourself?
Okay.
A lot of people don't understand this, but how do you know you're doing well?
Okay. So you can...
It's Groundhog's Day. You know what I mean? It's Groundhog Day. If you don't track yourself, how do you know? You go to work, you have an appraisal, you have KPIs and this. Your life, and you can lose your job tomorrow and they'll get rid of you. But what about your life?
Right.
You know, have you asked yourself, you know, people don't know, you know, like, should I buy this car? Should I, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So it all depends on what you want. So my objective now, and I tell people, yeah, this question has been posed to me by so many people. What do you want out of life now? I said, honestly, what I want out of life now is financial freedom. And what I mean by financial freedom doesn't mean I need to have 20 million in the bank.
Mm.
It means that I don't have to pay any bills now and do exactly what I want to do when I want to do it.
Okay.
You know, and spread knowledge, you know, finish my second PhD, write another book, you know, because it is all to me is amal, it's giving back. What you're doing is amal, you're passing knowledge. It's very important, you know. So that's important to me, not impressing people. I am not in the game to impress anybody, you know. I don't need this.
We are aware of that.
Yes.
My next question, actually, I wanted to ask, what's your ultimate goal? But you already mentioned, so that's your ultimate goal in life.
Yeah, I mean, I'm close. Close, you know, and I'm close because I've shared a lot of things. You know, I didn't need this, I didn't need that.
Yeah.
But yeah, I want to write another book. I want to, I'm planning a book tour this year, you know, trying to get out to Malaysia and speak. You know, doing more lectures, stuff like that, you know, just to help people. Just, you know, I'm just aggressive now on my TikTok channel. I'm doing a bit of podcast.
Okay, now regards to your TikTok and podcast, Ken, what do you expect from that?
Okay, so look, I'm already doing it. You know, you're already doing this. I come from traditional media, and new media is something that I'm learning very fast. In fact, I was one of the first to latch onto AI before anybody. We launched the AI DJ and Fly FM and stuff. So into AI, I love it. These things will not stop for anybody, right? So the first hour of my day, when I'm drinking my coffee or what, I study what's happening in the world.
Okay.
Take time for 1 hour to actually study what's happening. And it's amazing that these days you can pick everything up on TikTok or on Reels or on YouTube. So I'm learning a lot there. And education is free. Okay. So what do I want to do with my YouTube channel? Yeah, it's to me, when you look back maybe 10 years, alhamdulillah, I get to live till 100. I look back and it says, I've done all this. Oh my God. You know, it's still there. You know? And if it helps, like today somebody asked me, hey, 7 days, what can you do? 7 things you can tell me to help me. And I said, you know what? That's brilliant. I'm going to do it. You know? If it helps somebody, why not? You know? Amal means to help, right?
Yeah.
Doesn't mean just money alone, right?
Little.
Yeah.
So giving back to
the
community, like the viewers. Okay, great, great. So I believe that I've asked most of the questions that I want to know.
Mm-hmm.
So kepada pendengar penonton that want to know further, maybe have personal question, could contact.
Yeah, you can get on my Book of Jake Instagram. You can go to you can pick up my book at www.bookofjake.my. It's only $39.90. You can go to my Instagram. You can go to my YouTube, Book of Jake. You can reach me. I usually reply everybody, even if you say nasty things. I might just ignore you. But, you know, but again, like I said, there are a lot of haters in the world.
Of course, yeah.
You know, people hate you because they got nothing better to do. But you know, somebody told me this. They said, it's surprising how haters actually take time of their busy life to actually say do you know what I mean?
True.
So you must be actually striking a chord.
Right.
Good or bad, I don't know. You know, so even to you, my advice to you is like, keep doing it. You know, sometimes you might be, alama, touch cook view, don't just keep doing it. All it takes is one day to somebody to strike. Yeah, and keep doing it. It's really interesting. You push out really good content, how to stand out of this, what is this, why you shouldn't do this, speaking Malay, you know, and you're taking time to do it. and you should continue doing it. There are times where you'll say, what the hell am I doing? Is this not worth it? You know, I'm sure it will cost your man many times. But don't. Just keep doing it and it'll happen, you know. Then in my read my chapter on making dots before connecting that.
Mm.
Because like what you're doing now is you're making dots, yes. You know. So you're making a dot, making a dot. So maybe, I don't know, inshallah, so, you know, months from now, hey, I remember what Kamal was. Maybe I should get Kamal to host this,
right,
or this or that, or you might. So we're all making dots to be able to connect them.
Mm.
You know, I worked to a prime minister, you know. See, I was CEO of IM for a year and a quarter to the infamous or the famous DePaul School, you know what I mean? I learned a lot in 1 year. I never thought I could work for a prime minister, you know. And this is all because of I made dots. So wherever you are in life, my advice is, it's not too bad. Be grateful for what you have and work towards your dreams. I think that's the most important thing. There's a chapter on gratitude.
Right.
Mm-hmm. I'm grateful. I bersyukur, alhamdulillah, every day for whatever I have. I'm a boy from Sentul who have walked quite a distance.
Mm.
Got to meet so many people, got to experience so many things. You know?
Amazing story. Amazing story.
Yeah, and my story is just starting. I keep telling. Yesterday, I had a chat with KJ and we were chatting, and then he just got into some board in some Indian company and said, dude, you're so inspirational. And he said, you are too. Just focus on your book. And I said, yeah, I should. What happens? You know, so I'm getting back on the book tour and all that. And he really inspires me, you know, how he has redefined himself and all that. Say what you want about him. But man, the guy just amazing, you know, so. So there are a few people who inspire me, and you're one of them. So
thank you. Doing
what you're doing, you know, at least you got one good view of your podcast.
Yeah. Thank you for the great advice.
Yeah.
I will digest that. I will implement that to my company. And my main intention is, Pranya, never about the viewer.
Good.
Never about the viewer. It's because I do know people out there, they are struggling to be healthy, but they don't know where to start. So at least one of our video can give them an impact for them
definitely
to change. So
definitely
that's the main one of the main goal, Kasitu.
Definitely. So yeah, you should hit out some FMCG companies like, you know, health food and stuff. But yeah, you know, they'll probably, you know, be able to sponsor you. And just go. Again, like I said, and this is my advice for you and to anybody in this podcast.
Okay.
If you don't try, you won't know.
Exactly.
So if you send 100 emails out, if one strikes,
right,
you're in the right place. But if you don't send, then you cannot complete. Okay, so yeah, so keep sending out because it'll help if you get a sponsor. It'll help if you get it.
Alhamdulillah, we actually secure a sponsor. We did not expect that, actually.
Very good to hear. Very good to hear.
Yeah. So again, Jay,
thank you very much
for coming over, willing to come over and share his journey, giving my advice. Live.
No, thank you for, I'm happy to do this podcast here.
Yeah. Thank you again, Alhamdulillah. Inshallah, we're going to jumpa lagi in future.
Inshallah. And do a workout. But this guy's biceps too big.
I haven't been working out for the past 2 days, I think.
That's why all the ladies say, you know me? I don't, but it's true, I don't live for my arms, yeah.
But, so, inshallah, kita akan jumpa lagi. And see you guys again in the next episode. Take care, assalamualaikum, peace out.